Now, because this question is a good one for the podcast. This is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 151. I'm your host, Lawrence.
There's no
of
stealth opening.
That was
there.
The quickest intro of all time.
Why, thank you.
Well, it's because we all knew he was starting it.
Right. I was trying to be, because you were saying nobody wanted the Wii U.
No, nobody wanted the Wii U. I mean, like,
and introduce yourselves, everybody.
It's-a me, a Mario.
God damn it, David.
I'm a based on a bad Italian stereotype that are on Jeremy.
Yeah. Anyway, Taylor.
Actually, he has a lot, his design has a lot to do with the limitation of 8-bit graphics.
I know.
That's probably true.
No, I mean,
I mean, they gave him a hat because it was easier than pixelating the hair.
Right. The mustache, they gave him a mustache so the they could see, right. so you could see that he had a nose, you
right.
know.
I mean, it does make sense.
And apparently the name came from, I think, like the landlord of the office that they were working out of back when they were making Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Huh. Are there a lot of Japanese landlords?
No, like when they were localizing it. Well, his original name was Jumpman. So, like, where they were working on when they whatever like localization.
I will say Mario is better than Jumpman.
Yeah.
I never played Jumpman.
Well, no. I mean, I played Donkey Kong, right. And he was Jumpman was the name of that guy.
But I'm saying, like, you know, was there a difference?
No, it was just his original name was Jumpman.
Okay.
Yeah. Mario was a better name than Jumpman.
That was so much better.
Well, until they made a two-player version of the game and called them the Mario Brothers.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to point out how thoroughly David derailed the introduction process.
Right. We're no longer talking about...
Believe it or not, I actually wrote a unpublished book on Nintendo history.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We have an actual like Nintendo historian here.
Like
300 pages
that's way,
you know what I mean?
That's a huge
but
book.
You can add so much more to it now.
That was the problem. It never ends. Their history starts in the 1800s. It keeps going
but
eternity.
But all of history never ends.
Well, I guess
something is always being added to
great
it every
year. Because that means you can write a sequel book later on.
Yeah, man. You can just
divvy it out in portions and
save some gems for the follow-up. Ride this gravy train, man.
Nintendo, but I'm not nearly, but I don't keep up with video games the way I used to.
I don't know.
Because I've moved my love to board games.
I don't see that
games.
As a cash cow, the mix of gamers and historians being that huge.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, crossover.
There
I mean,
is actually
kind of
several
side.
Books already out on it.
And are they publishers wealthy? I mean, you know, they're...
I mean,
I'm gonna say it's not a cash
cow. I don't think they're like Howard Hughes or anything. But yeah, they probably made like a profit.
About that, the cash cow. He's already done the work.
He pulls the money like Scrooge McDuck, man.
I think I have 13 or 14 books about the early days of video games in one form or another.
Wow,
you are the audience.
Well, I mean, you know, because you're
Larry publishes the book and he buys all the copies.
Like, the early, you know, computer programming came from, like, model train hacking and all kinds of other stuff. There's two actual inventions of video games. One, video games were invented in a top secret government lab that was in a college that was operated by the military. And also by an individual working for Magnavision.
This is the guy that built the light rifle, right? The light, the photosensitive rifle that you could shoot at the screen. Is this the guy?
Maybe. I'm trying to think.
I can't think of his name.
You're
B.
thinking Ralph Baer?
That's it.
Yeah. And I think he worked for Magnavox.
It was like Magnavox or something like that.
Yeah,
but he had like basically like a light sensitive, photosensitive sensor.
And, you know, basically how that works. If y'all don't know how your Nintendo Zapper works, when you pull the trigger, the screen flashes solid black except for one white square. Just for a split second, but that split second it lases the screen, and so if it detects white, you hit whatever. If you detect black, it didn't hit anything.
Cool.
And the dog doesn't pop up and laugh at you.
I hate that dog. Everyone hates that dog.
I watched what I learned today on YouTube, and that's one of the episodes they have. I have not actually watched it yet. How does the duck hunt gun work? Man, so now I know I have to watch it now. You saved me a whole like 7-minute YouTube video.
So
that's Larry.
Clear up that cue. YouTube.
That's what Larry's here for, to
Well, there's definitely more to it than just. I mean, just probably that. All but that is the long and short of it.
Yeah. Oh, but we were originally talking about the Wii U landing on its face, as it were.
I think we should finish our introductions if we haven't.
Oh, right.
Because I derailed it, I put it back on the track.
The introductions that you ruined.
Yes.
Anyway, Taylor.
Robert.
And Adam.
God, that was the... Okay, so we did the quickest... Characters? Like, no. In fact, we shouldn't. yeah, that was the quickest, like, hey, this is Geeks of the Square Table thing ever, but then, like, the longest gap between... panelist.
We could all do bad Mario impersonations.
Yeah. No.
They would all pale to David's here.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason why I did that is because we were kind of talking about Nintendo, but I did watch a little snippet of a thing about Charles Martinet, who is the voice of Mario. He was talking about how he
on the game or
the movie? Are you telling me the voice of Mario isn't Captain Lou Albano?
That's another Mario. We're talking about video game Mario. Not the Super Mario show was Captain Lou Albano and had the really bad animation, but the, you know, do the Mario!
I think we were better off.
The bizarre things I have on DVD.
And the connections that me and Larry make sometimes are also strange.
Yeah.
And they won't put it out on Blu-ray.
I know.
Because some things need to be in high definition.
I don't know if that's a void that needs to be filled there. I think we're good on that one, man. Yeah. Either way. The Wii U wasn't a bad console, though.
The Wii wasn't a bad console, but the Wii U was completely forgotten.
It's very forgettable. Well, the first mistake was probably just, like, keeping the same name and adding U at the end. It just makes it sound as though...
Wii U!
Well, I mean, like... It just sounds as though it's not really much of an upgrade to begin with. Like, it's just the same thing.
That sounds like that girl from that...
Not as far as I know.
Winner the Fist.
Not Wii University? Because that's what I think of.
Yeah, you might think that it is a school where you go to learn about the Wii, but... I don't know what the U is supposed to stand for, honestly.
Universe?
All I know is it has a tablet on it. Which, I mean, that might be a novel idea. It probably is.
Utility?
I mean, they upgraded the graphics a little bit.
Like, the Wii U seemed to me like they were trying to do everything the Switch does.
Yeah.
Like,
but the Switch does it in a more... I guess it looks like a more elegant way.
It's like that first version of Windows. It's like, oh, the next version then does everything the first one promised.
Okay. But then the next version ruins everything the second version did.
Exactly.
We've come full circle.
Although we started talking about this in the first place because Nintendo did do their big Switch reveal. It's coming out in
March.
About a month and a half now.
Yeah.
Beginning of March.
And we really started this conversation because I was hoping that the Switch won't be as much of a bitch to get as every other Nintendo console has always been.
Let me guess, it's $299.99?
Yep.
It's a pretty good price for a
GameStop's only are taking like limited numbers of reservations.
Well, don't worry, they'll release a wave on Black Friday and announce they're going to do it for $249.
Yeah, but yes. The
first week of January, they'll lower the price to $199 until next Black Friday, where it'll be $149.
Well, but who wants to wait almost a year?
Who wants to wait six months?
Well, this is the pattern they followed for every console release.
True, I agree.
Since the Nintendo, except they've added $100.
Well... That's fine with me, because I usually wait about a year before I ever get a new console.
They work the bugs out,
plus it's easier to get.
Plus they
it's a little cheaper. You have an actual library of games.
Yeah.
You have a library of games to actually choose from, as opposed to the 10 that they...
Right, most people...
Well, they are leading
don't.
With Zelda, though.
They are leading with Zelda.
Which is a new thing.
Yeah, they're throwing their big gun down first.
That alone
like they lead with the Mario.
That would want to get that console.
Exactly.
That is a beautiful-looking game.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild does look amazeballs, which of course it will be amazeballs.
Which about that time my
and all fairness, the last three Nintendo systems I bought were all because of Zelda games. Yep. And of course they were all GameCube. But
you bought three GameCubes? Did you buy Wind Waker three times?
No, they re-released almost every Zelda game for the GameCube.
Yeah, well, they did. But I know they had that
but and Zelda. They only released them with buying a GameCube. That was the only way you could get the.
But I thought you said
collector's edition.
I thought you said you bought a GameCube three times, though.
I did.
Yes. What?
Why to get the limited edition game that would be released by itself.
Okay. I bought four GameCubes.
Okay.
The first one I bought
was
when the Wind Waker came out. All right, that one got stolen. So I bought another one. All right, and then I traded that one in with the first Zelda Collector's Edition disc. And then when they came out with another one, I ended up trading my GameCube in again to buy a GameCube to get the Collector's Edition.
So you were at one point in time a revolving door of GameCube.
And, you know, but those discs, are like $75 or $100. You know, they're worth more than I paid for the original GameCube.
I will say, I mean, the GameCube was an underpowered machine, but it is a durable little thing, and it's they still work pretty well.
Nintendo does make their shit built to last. For, making some heavy-duty products.
I still use mine from a time to time. I have Wind Waker, Super Mario Sunshine. And I play them all the time.
I can still fire up the N64 and it still works.
Yeah. But I have a Super Nintendo that...
My Super Nintendo still works.
I have a Super Nintendo that I never... I got it secondhand and it didn't have all the stuff to it. So I have a Super Nintendo that I have never once turned off. It's been a few years,
but I did have an NES that still worked.
Well, my Super Nintendo was used as a dog toy.
Wow.
Like, my mom's dog had, like, literally chewed off half of the case. But that thing still plays.
Well, that is impressive.
That is both impressive and very sad to hear.
So it's pathetic on Larry's part, but props on you, Nintendo, for building a dog-proof console.
Some of the best games were on Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. No, that Super Nintendo's great. The sad part was you letting your dog eat
half of it. I didn't actually... wasn't in living at that place when that happened.
Okay.
I had no control over that.
Okay. But no, I mean, but that is back to the larger point. Yeah, Zelda does move consoles, and this is reported to be certainly the largest Zelda game. They showed a comparison of the game maps, and this one is drastically larger than the next biggest one in the series, Twilight Princess. And it's supposed to shake up the formula. It's supposed to be more about exploration. It's less linear, things like that.
Basically, they took Skyrim and they put it in a Zelda game.
You could make that comparison.
I would say they'd take more Witcher and put it into it.
Well, and Wind Waker was very much about exploration. There was so much, you could spend so long exploring every sector of the map. Yeah,
I really liked Wind Waker because of that.
Wind Waker was great. It's one of those things where, like, I feel like it's universally liked today, but people were just crapping on it.
They hated the art style.
Here's the thing, though.
It's beautiful.
I will say that cell shading has lasted, has held up way better than any of the other graphics for any of the other Zelda games.
Right.
You play that cell shaded game now, and it looks amazing.
Because they still barely do cell shading.
They re-released it for Wii U, and they barely had to tweak the graphics at all.
Yeah. It is by far the best looking of the Zelda games.
It's essentially a vector-based formula. And for those of you who are familiar with graphics and are aware what raster versus vector is, vector holds up to upscaling, raster does not. So if you've seen somebody print an image off the internet and it was all pixelated, that's because it's what they call a raster image. And raster image works on 0.00 is this color. 0.1-0 is this color. And maps every individual pixel. Where vector base goes, this point mathematically forms a curve into here and describes the shapes using angles and lines. Which that can be scaled and it can redo that. You know, usually stuff like fonts are vector-based.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we are getting all the technical specs today, it seems.
Yeah. Apparently.
But because cell shading is more vector-based versus raster, it's much easier to upscale.
You are, though, giving away your closely guarded secrets, so now listeners of the podcast will no longer need to buy your soon-to-be-published Nintendo history book.
Well, I don't think probably this is part never of to be published. And it was video game history as well.
Excuse me for believing in you, Larry. I'll never make that mistake again.
I don't believe that you believe.
Well. Not anymore. Since you believe, you should go ahead and buy, license the right to publish it.
I don't believe in Larry that much. Oh, well. But no, I mean, this Zelda game does look... They've also added in some things that may or may not be a good addition. Like, apparently it's going to be voice acted now.
Is it?
In the trailer, yes, there were talking characters. Which is a serious first. Apparently, I doubt Link is going to talk. I
don't think that's the fine line. It's like, I can deal with all the characters being voice acted except for Link. Link has always been a silent protagonist, with the exception of his grunts.
Well, there's one character I wish would shut the hell up. Hey, look, listen.
Navi gets a bad rap. It wasn't that bad.
Listen. It was during certain parts of the game. Or when you were trying to do something else and she really wanted you to look at this and you already knew about it, you know. Or there'd be some times where she would just pester the crap out of you. But
you're giving away my position. I'm trying to sneak around, you stupid fairy fucking bitch.
And
strong feelings.
Chill out, man. A, Zelda is not a stealth game, and B, the enemies cannot hear her.
Now,
chill out.
I figured I'd get the F-bomb. A friend that had it as a text message alert
on their phone.
Yes, and that was annoying. Yeah.
That was pretty clever. I thought you meant in the game when you said it.
But when they would carry on a conversation via text and send, three or four texts a minute. For about 20 minutes, you're ready to strangle somebody.
Well, I guess you could just turn your ringer off.
It wasn't my ringer.
Oh, so you're just like sitting next to this person while they're carrying on a text conversation?
Yeah.
So that's on you for not, engaging them enough that they don't need the distraction of someone else.
I banned their phone from my house.
Okay.
That's how that ended.
That either way. But other than Zelda, there's a few other games they've announced. No More Heroes 3 apparently was the big surprise one. Haven't played a lot of those, but they do certainly have a cult following.
They do.
As do most of Suda 51's
I played the first two. The first one was okay. The second one was pretty good. So, they're interesting games. I will give them that. They're very creative, and they're very Japanese. So, it'll be worth a play.
Okay. And there's also Splatoon 2. And
heard Splatoon was great. I haven't had a chance to play.
Splatoon is a lot of fun. It's an interesting take on the squad shooter. The objective isn't really just to rack up kills, it's to just paint the map. So you could effectively just wander around ignoring everyone and still secure victory for your team. But and then they also announced Super Mario Odyssey.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the first, main entry Mario game since Galaxy, or I guess Galaxy 2.
Galaxy 2, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So that should be interesting. Apparently his hat is alive now. So that's
of course, why not? It's got to be fully voice acted, too.
It had to happen eventually.
What bad stereotype? What bad stereotype is going to be the voice for the hat?
Who knows?
An Italian from Jersey. Yo, Mook. Why are you wearing me on your head?
Well, funny you should mention that, because the trailer actually showed Mario wandering around like a stand-in for New York, complete with realistic-looking cabs and street lamps and stuff for him to jump off of.
Koopa Troopa's driving.
Nope. Regular folk.
So he's slaughtering regular folks in cabs? So
they did not feature that in the trailer.
So does he lay off the magic mushrooms and find his way home?
Apparently so.
I couldn't tell you, man. Although apparently Bowser and Peach are
a couple.
Evidently, yeah, they're shown in wedding garb together.
Well, you but know, that Stockholm syndrome.
Well, she's been kidnapping it.
That Stockholm syndrome hits you hard, man.
Oh yeah, she is the
pussy. So the game has the plot of the '90s movie.
I don't know. '80s that.
Movie was it? Was it '80s?
Which movie?
It was like '90s.
Super Mario Brothers.
Well, the parts
that
of the
was
game
like the early '90s movie.
The parts of the game they showed that weren't wandering around New York looked pretty interesting.
With a post Roger Rabbit, Bob Hopkins, and a very young John Leguizamo.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was a thing with like Dennis Hopper as Koopa.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Who was Princess Peach? I forget who she was.
It was Daisy.
Daisy.
It was Daisy, yeah. What did it wasn't even Peach.
Well, she was the new Game Boy princess at the time.
But anyway, so lots of interesting stuff coming out of the Switch presentation. Should be pretty cool. Price point was certainly enticing at $300. I was probably going to expect it to be like $400 or something, so maybe a pleasant surprise.
$300 makes it competitive.
But, you know, that's what Nintendo does. They always price their stuff a little bit lower. They have their little niche market as being the second console.
Yep.
And I think that's going to keep... That's going to continue going on with the Switch. I mean,
and I know they dominate the portable market.
That's the most interesting thing.
Even with everybody having games on their cell phone, I still see people playing DSs.
Well, it's going to be It's interesting seeing that they're combining their portable market.
That was the second entry from Nintendo, which is the Super Mario Run.
Yeah.
And it's a mobile game.
Oh, and they're also apparently doing a Fire Emblem mobile game is another thing they've announced.
I did see that, too.
So, yeah, so they have expanded into actual mobile market, and the Switch itself is apparently portable to at least a large degree.
Yeah.
You can, any game you have in the Switch, you can play on the tablet, and apparently it has a not insubstantial range to it.
Mobile within the house.
In the trailer they showed somebody like going all the way up to their roof onto like a happening millennial party to play the Switch on.
Okay.
Party on the roof. Well, what they don't show you is
look, this is
geeks
at the square table, not happening millennials at the square table. I don't know the parlance, Adam. Get off my back.
Bless Jules. He'll know.
Yeah, he's in that age range.
Jules is hip
he
to
lives
the
in
scene.
East Nashville. He knows.
Jules is plugged in. Whenever he shows up.
Yeah, he's a hell of a Yankees fan.
But either way. Alright, so. Anything else we want to talk about Nintendo?
Well, while we're still on the subject of Nintendo, most of the people at the table play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And earlier this week, they Niantic did do an update. And the gang at the Sif Road has done the data mining on the update, and there are new moves, and there are the evolution items for Generation 2 Pokemon in the code.
Oh.
So we're probably looking at a Generation 2 Pokemon coming out relatively soon. I'm not too sure.
Oh, I figured that was going to happen after they introduced the babies.
Yeah. Well, those are actual Gen 2.
They are Gen 2, but I'm talking probably like a large scale rollout because they're talking about.
I figured that wouldn't be far coming.
There's code in there for like 35 new moves. There's code in there for gender differentials, like, and there are pictures floating around on Reddit.
Can pimp out my Ditto.
It's what Ditto is for.
There are pictures that are floating around on Reddit for a female Pikachu, which the difference is, the tail. How the tail is. The male Pikachu is the very angled tail, and the female Pikachu is the heart-shaped tail. Those did appear online, and then, like, earlier this morning, they had a server issue, but the it's not, you can't catch them now. They've all reverted back to their original state. But that's code in there for variations such as the shinies that were in Generation 2. Okay. So, Generation 2 is around the corner.
Maybe next month,
something? Not sure. But if Niantic keeps up with their general update schedule, we'll know something in probably 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, they usually, that's usually the cycle, yeah. data miners get the information, then a couple weeks later they come up with an official announcement, hey, next week it's going to be yada, yada, yada.
And it was like, you know, the babies, they were like, you know, we're dropping the babies today.
Poorly phrased, but okay.
And then, Pokemon Hunter? Capturer? What do you call yourselves?
Pokemon Trainer.
Trainers. Okay.
Like to be breeders.
I am...
Again, weirdly phrased.
So...
I don't train Pokemon, so I haven't kept up at all. All but right. It seemed that there was this huge... It was everywhere I turned. As a non-gamer, I knew what a Pokemon Go was. And now I don't. He just kind of died off.
Well, it's never going to be as popular as it was when that first came out.
Okay.
But
that was... I mean...
Because it was new, flashy, was hot.
Yeah, it was new, flashy, hot. People love Pokemon. The people who are most glued to their smartphones were the generation growing up with Pokemon.
Right.
And to be honest, it's not surprising there's a huge drop-off because the game is not...
There's really not that much to it.
It becomes a big grind.
After a certain level, it becomes a grind. And I mean, I've only been playing since the week of Thanksgiving, and I'm at 26.
Is that good?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good, actually.
So...
Well, I'm 29.
But you've been playing since the game started. You had like four months on me.
Okay.
But
you Michael Vick home game.
How much of a jump
I've
it
never
is
thought
to
of it that way, but
at the high levels. It's a real slog. But I mean, there's not really a lot of reward for coming back and playing, honestly, except for, you know, you're trying to complete your Pokédex, and I still have fun playing.
It's for completists, and I mean, it is. There's also the
aspect of getting out and doing
things. Yeah,
there's a community involved with it too.
As a great example, I have met up in Portland. I have met people who play Pokemon Go, and they do. There are some people that do drive around and hit the stops. I walk because I actually do like a 6K walk every day.
Okay,
part of just an exercise regimen, and I hit
most.
Like,
I've heard that it has that
now,
element to it.
Most of the people I know put some hack on their phone, so their phone will think it's walking around.
Oh wow!
You can do that.
I don't put a hack
on
my phone,
with a Pringles can.
I do sometimes.
A Pringles can?
You can do that with a Pringles can.
At my office
it's called GPS drift.
My GPS doesn't know where I am necessarily in my office, so I do sometimes just plug in my phone and leave it on.
Runs back and forth.
Yeah. Okay. But basically what you can do is...
I can get an extra kilometer or something a day out of it.
You can put your phone
inside. Oh, that's another benefit.
Can.
It is teaching us the metric system.
Okay. I'm with that.
It's done in kilometers.
It keeps the metric.
But wait, you can make your Pringles can move around without you? Okay. Or your Pringles can make your phone move around?
It works on the same concept as you're in a metal building. You can put the phone in a Pringles can, and it will cause the GPS to lose track of you, and basically your avatar will roam around.
Okay.
Now, I wouldn't recommend doing it for something like a 5K egg or a 10K egg, because the movement is not, you know, after like an hour or so, it's not going to be a great substantial movement. But a 2K egg, and you're not doing anything.
Right. And apparently what you're saying is you have to move 2K in order to generate an egg to get
to hatch
it.
Oh, yeah.
To hatch
the egg.
Like, the egg you have in your incubator after you walk 5 kilometers,
right,
the game registers you walking 5 kilometers, that egg hatches and you get a new Pokemon.
So,
okay.
There's also 2 kilometer eggs and 10 kilometer
eggs.
And
there's also a thing called a buddy where you can take a Pokemon and make it your buddy.
Right.
Which Magikarp is right here.
This Why Magikarp does he look like he's dying?
Because he's out of water. Because
Magikarp is a pathetic piece of shit.
I mean, why is he not in the breathe air? He's a magic fish.
Magikarp actually has some mythology behind it.
This is a magic fish that cannot breathe air.
It is Magikarp is supposed to is by design a pathetic little crappy creature, but if you persistently train this terrible Pokemon, it evolves into something awesome called Gyarados.
Yes.
Okay, I've heard Gyarados.
That does come from a...
But to train it.
A mythology element where if a carp manages to swim all the way to the top of a waterfall, it becomes a flying dragon.
Yes.
Ah!
Which is why Gyarados here is a flying type, even though that does not look like it should be able to fly.
It's magic.
Oh, magic.
But you were going to explain... So you Your thing has to hatch over time, and what are you trying to...
So basically, once you enslave the wild animals and train them to fight...
Look at it with the innocence of youth, you asshole.
All right.
After you rescue them from the wild and give them the benefit of civilization.
Okay. Sure. When you as a small child throw your magic ball that's about 3 inches big that encases them inside so you can put them away and store them and sort them.
Right.
You
get bonus stuff. Energy. It's not their
craft. But yeah, this...
You get bonus stuff, and some of them are eggs. And because they have no mothers, if you walk around with them, eventually they'll hatch, right. And then you can train them to do your bidding.
Yes. It's Conquer Gym.
Your cynicism speaks more poorly of you than it does of Pokemon, Larry.
I really do like that vision of it, though. I think you should all wear black capes and mustaches.
but it keeps track of how many kilometers you walk with them.
Okay.
I've put all in 173, almost 174 kilometers with this particular one.
Anywho.
Okay, and that's just that one?
Just that one.
Okay, so that's your buddy.
That's my buddy.
And
my pal.
How long did it take to get him up the waterfall turn to Gyarados?
Depends on
it requires 400 candies, which is what will evolve him. I'm at 296.
Once you catch the one you already have, you can chop it up into an edible treat for the others.
Yes. This is for kids?
Yes.
Because this is a cartoon.
Yes.
And a trading card game.
Well, the actual line in the game
is that you transfer your Pokemon to a professor to study, and in exchange, he sends you back a piece of candy.
Oh,
Larry's just being an asshole, as Larry is wont to do.
But we don't know where the professor gets this candy. It's quite possible after studying them, he converts them into candy.
I think he's feeding a village with them. Which, makes a really good use.
He's really the secret owner of a fast food chain.
It could be that.
Kentucky Fried Pokemon.
There you go. It's one of
the few that have
to anyway. Let's jump off of Pokemon here, and let's talk about something else that was cool.
Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan.
Well, it's based off of Old Man Logan. It's just called Logan.
Logan.
Yeah.
But considering Wolverine's age, Old Man Logan is redundant.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Pikachu.
Well, when the comic came out, we were used to not seeing Logan as an old man, so it was...
Here's the other thing. Old Man Logan is a character outside of the original Fox negotiations. Logan is an X-Men character. Old Man Logan is his own storyline.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Old Man Logan is an alternate future... And they're allowed to do that, character.
They have rights to the character Logan.
Not Old Man Logan.
But they don't have rights to the character Old Man Logan.
Which is why
they can't turn
Marvel off Wolverine.
How much? I'm trying to figure out how in the world.
Before Disney.
If you give me the rights to Batman, and then you say, oh no.
I'm going to make the Dark
Knight Returns. And that's a different Batman. To me, that is. If you've given me the right,
that's a different situation entirely.
They didn't give them the rights. So
Warner Brothers owns Batman anyway. They don't need to.
Warner Brothers owns DC. Marvel, when going under, they sold the movie rights to the X-Men.
Right. Yes.
And characters that appear in the X-Men book. Right.
So Fox got.
So when they got those rights, all the characters appeared at that time. Old Man Logan. Being a new character from an alternate timeline.
Was not in the X-Men books.
Was not in the X-Men books.
Yeah, that story came out since 2000.
Neither should X-23 be a Fox
character. Have they ever referred to her as X-23?
Not in the trailer.
Why are they going to?
I don't know.
They're probably
but it's obvious
who Marvel she does is. Not. It but is, but Marvel does not own the license to the name Laura.
Yeah. Basically, Fox has to put out an X-Men movie every so many years to keep the retain the license.
I think they're going to make it worse.
X-23 was in an X-Men book.
Didn't she first appear in NYX?
Yes, but she's been in like X-Force and X-Men.
Only Logan's been in X-Men books.
But the character of
I think it has more to do with the timing. How old is the character?
But the character of X-23 did not appear until like an animated, not the 90s X-Men, but the X-Men movie. Yeah.
You guys are making this way more complicated than it is.
Sure.
Did the character exist before the X-Men movies came out?
No.
There you go. That's the bottom line. The rest of this is just shit.
She didn't exist before the first movie came out.
Okay, that's it. We can stop talking. That's the bottom line. Anyway, the trailer itself, though, did look pretty good.
It did look pretty good.
It was...
I still like that. He's like, not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool.
They're relishing in
the
F-bombs.
Yeah, it's not cool to beat up Quicksilver.
You know, you mentioned that, but I do harbor a fear that they're going to work in another Quicksilver slow-mo scene.
No, the thing is, though, is that he doesn't look like Fox's Quicksilver. He looks like Marvel Studios' Quicksilver.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it seems like they found out, hey, people loved that Quicksilver slow-mo scene. We're doing it in all our movies now. Yeah. They didn't do it in Deadpool, but I guess they weren't really expecting Deadpool.
Well, they had slow jams of Wham.
The studio didn't have the money for that.
They had slow jams of Wham.
There was a slow-motion scene in Deadpool.
There was a slow-motion scene.
Yeah, it was actually the very first scene.
Yeah.
Oh, Francis. Yeah, so X-23 first appeared in 04. Of course, X-Men Zero was 2000.
And that's all that really needs to be said. The character existed after the movies came out, so therefore Fox has no claim to her.
That's not necessarily true, because the character did exist before Disney bought Marvel. So there's no telling.
I don't know how that really plays into it.
There's no telling what extra rights they got.
Yeah, they could have negotiated
how it was
for
X-23 and everything. Right. You know?
Which is why when Disney bought Marvel, we don't have new X-Men characters.
Mutant characters too. They have right to most mutant characters. So they may actually have the rights to use the term Old Man Logan. I don't know, but. They also, Disney won't let them create new mutants. And they also, as far as story-wise, that's why the Fantastic Four don't have one book. So any stories involving those characters aren't FF characters, FF stories. So it could be that Old Man Logan isn't considered an X-Man or a mutant story, even though Old Man Logan himself being a mutant. I'm sure there's lawyers involved.
Oh, I'm sure there's tons of lawyers.
But the whole point of this is that it is the character, even if we don't use the name.
It's Wolverine. It's Hugh Jackman again.
But we're saying it's the storyline of Old Man Logan, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically?
Well,
I don't
know.
It's
not the storyline.
No. There's some X-23 was not an Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan was a post-apocalyptic Marvel Universe story where the villains won.
Old Man Logan was Unforgiven with Wolverine.
And if there's convenience store clerks,
it was a good story.
I don't think it's post-apocalypse yet.
I was kind of confused by that. So what is going on in the world? Because apparently Law and Order still exists. People are still buying crap at 7-Eleven.
Convenience stores, so.
No. Pringles still exist.
I mean, post-apocalypse.
Yeah. This, I don't think, is going to be a post-apocalypse. It's not going to be the start of that. This is the end of Hugh Jackman as X-Men.
That's not a storyline. Yeah.
That
was a telling clip because they have shoehorned Wolverine into every X-Men story.
Oh,
so
yes.
He is pretty synonymous with the franchise as a whole, not just the character.
So this is introducing the new Wolverine character. I mean, this is essentially going to introduce X-23 to the Fox X-Men franchise. That's going to give them the ability to sell a badass character, only find some young hot Hollywood starlet that they can sign for like a 12 movie deal for nothing.
But is X-23 going to carry what Wolverine does? I mean, like, let's say you can do that. Why would you want to? Why would you just not say it?
The character can provide if the writing's there, but is the acting going to be able to carry that of Hugh Jackman?
Well,
Jackman's an excellent actor and an amazing talent.
Hugh Jackman has HR the character, though, and I don't think he really wants to do it anymore.
Sure, but my question is, why can't we find somebody else to play Wolverine?
Well, they do. They've been looking at that, too. Like, Tom Hardy has expressed interest in playing Wolverine.
Can you find someone better than Hugh Jackman?
You run into the Joker scenario. Because no matter who follows, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, everybody's going to hate it.
Yeah.
Period. Before they even see it.
Sometimes an actor does become inseparable from the character. Like, sure. I don't think they'd ever be able to replace Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark at this point.
No. Some actors just embody the character that they are.
Yeah.
Yet, Disney has introduced three new people to take the mantle of Iron Man. Three new characters.
Yeah, that's different, though. That's people taking the mantle, not
that
the,
could
not
easily use those storylines to replace the Iron Man character with a different person if they wanted to get rid of.
We could have a Riri Williams.
No, in the movie. Marvel she needs to get. She needs to go by a different name. Riri is the dumbest name.
It is a very bad
name. Couldn't it just be like Renee or something? I don't know. I like the. I don't have a problem with the Ironheart character. That sounds cool, actually.
Right.
I don't like her name being fucking Riri is just childish.
I agree with you. I don't care for the name, but you know. The concept of the character is fine. The real issue is they're putting out so many alternate versions. You know, turning X-23 into the alternate, the new, all-new Wolverine. Rita Williams being the new Invincible Iron Man. And then,
they got the Unstoppable Wasp.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
There's like a female version of every traditionally male character.
And you know what? Good for them. It's about time we got some more.
That is fine, except for we should have original female characters. Just to go, we can take this character and make a female version of him. It seems like lazy storytelling.
Miss Marvel.
Well, Miss Marvel, they went out of their way.
She's a legacy character, but she's not a female derivative of a male character.
Right. and Miss Marvel is doing well. Now, Miss Marvel is one of the examples when somebody comes in and says, I want a comic for my young daughter. That's like the one of the ones I go to. Now,
but as we move into expressing cultural diversity, that is like the first step. It is somewhat condescending in the sense that, like, in the 60s, there was a black something for everything. Black Lightning, black this, black that, Black Panther. Because we had to say, how do we represent people?
Well, and it's a step above that. They're not just calling this is Miss Iron Man or Miss Thor or whatever.
But,
or Lady.
They're not calling it that, but essentially it is that.
Right.
And so, that is my question. Is it better? Or would making... Because making new characters who don't have the draw doesn't achieve the goal. Like,
well,
if I made a new female character,
I think it's progress. Like, it's also like retconning certain characters to be homosexual.
Well,
that's probably an issue too.
Green Lantern, who else?
The real issue is not that
they handled that pretty well.
Not that they've done this.
They made it a point in the story to talk about how Iceman, they pointed out that through no writing of Bendis's, all of Iceman's relationships have been unmitigated disasters, and so they can tie that in pretty well with him being a closeted homosexual the entire time.
Wasn't it because he was a superhuman mutant superhero?
It was because he didn't want to live with this... He didn't want to have the double stigma of being a... He already had to live with being a mutant. That was unavoidable. He didn't want to have the extra stigma added on of him being homosexual.
No, what I meant, the reason his relationships fail
and I can buy
all superhero relationships fail because they're superheroes, and every other week they're teleported off the planet.
It's all soap opera crap at the end of the day.
Oh, well, there's a lot more similarities between superheroes and soap operas than any of us probably care to admit.
Yeah. There's a lot more similarities between wrestling and soap operas.
My whole point is that they're doing it in mass.
Sure.
They're doing it too much.
Sure.
Don't just introduce a wave because, this worked. Let's do five more of them.
Yeah,
it sort of devalues
something when you throw too much out. Like Thor. Jane Foster Thor is amazing. It's great. But Riri Williams...
It's a great...
Thor... Literally the only problem I have with it is the name being Riri.
The great way they introduced the story. It was a great plot point. You know, there was this whole thing, where, she's sacrificing her life to wield the hammer of Thor. You know, great. You know, even the backstory of Riri Williams, being a mentor, and breaking into the lab and stealing this equipment she knows how to fix, and she's being a super genius. That's great. She seems like a teenage version of Moon Girl.
Moon Girl.
That's also a new character.
Exact same character.
As Moon Knight?
Like a 7-year-old
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
It's a 7-year-old.
The character seems based off of his Moon Boy, a Jack Kirby character from a million years ago that no one gives a shit about.
It's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. So she's like a 7-year-old genius character, you know, little black girl that has this big giant red dinosaur she runs around with as a pet. Right.
And she's inhuman.
She's inhuman, not a mutant. So. But she's a super genius.
Right. Somebody mentioned Unstoppable Wasp. That was amazing. That was one of the best premiere issues I've read in a really long time.
That was a very good premiere. And it did a lot to basically acknowledge that, you know, the female superheroes were scientists and just great.
It did a good job challenging some things that we kind of take for granted about the superhero landscape. For instance, if you name the top 10 smartest guys in the Marvel Universe, you're almost certainly going to name all dudes.
Yeah.
And really, that should not be the case.
That was a point that was brought up in the book.
Yes, they explicitly mentioned that.
It was like, you know, the Banner test, you know, and the first woman on the scale is at number 27.
Well, actually, now it's a Moon Girl.
Well, they did make a point to say when the little girl with the dinosaur come along and took the test, now she's the smartest person in the world.
Point out that it's that just statistically doesn't make sense that you have to get all the way into
but it was like
number 27 before you hit a woman.
Yeah.
That can't be right.
But it was like basically where it's Nadia, right? Her name is Nadia. The villain that they were fighting in the giant robot was a scientist, and basically she was like, "Oh my God, you're so and so. Your work on biotoxins is incredible." And the lady's like,
well, yeah, she never got recognized.
She's like, that's classified. How did you know? She's like, I read it. And then, like, there was a very touching moment between her and Bobby Morris where she was like, you're Bobby Morris. And it's like, you're not Bobby Morris Mockingbird. You're Bobby Morris, the scientist who tried to replicate the super serum.
Honestly, that's something that really hit home for me because when she's – okay, the start of the issue is she's hanging out with Kamala. Yeah, she's hanging out with Kamala and they happen to come across this fight between Mockingbird and this giant mech. Initially, Wasp doesn't recognize Mockingbird. It's like, oh, who's that? Oh, that's a Mockingbird. She used to be married to Hawkeye. She hits things with sticks. Those are the things that I usually first think of when I think of Mockingbird, and that's not right. It's not. That's not something that
it goes.
It does. Speaking of,
most people associate her as for her relationship with Hawkeye, and that's not really fair to the character. The character did exist before Hawkeye. She was originally introduced as a scientist. I didn't know these things. I had to go and look them up because after I read the issue, I had to kind of reassess, you know, the way I approach the character.
But there was a very touching moment between them where they was just basically she recognized her as the scientist and not the superhero.
So what's up with the female all new Hawkeye? How do they explain that one?
Oh, well, she's been Hawkeye. She's been Hawkeye forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where they were both using the.
They're
name.
They're both Hawkeye.
Okay. Yeah.
She was a prominent character in Matt Fraction's run on the character.
They're both, but
Bobby
Morse?
No. Oh no, this is Kate Bishop.
It's like the Thor thing. They're both using the same title.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But Thor,
Thor is technically not using.
He
Thor
goes by
anymore.
Odin's son.
He's
now.
Odin's son.
Yeah, but basic. But
I still think of him as
for
Thor
a while. For a while,
God given name.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of an a-hole thing to do to name your kid after a job title.
Okay, yeah, sure.
The wielder of the hammer is Thor. That's like saying, I'm going to name you Janitor, because anybody who can wield this mop is
to
Janitor.
Be fair,
here you go.
People are named after professions. I mean, you know, you got a ton of Masons and
Cooper. So what's his first name?
Mason is a first name.
Mason
Cooper
is
a
first
name.
Yeah.
What is a Cooper?
Someone who makes barrels.
Okay.
Yeah. How do we know that?
We're knowledgeable people, Robert. We don't have to explain it.
We're geeks. We have trivia knowledge.
It's a superpower. Okay, so we got the issue is turning traditionally male characters into female characters, is that oversaturated as opposed to creating new female characters?
Well, it is at Marvel.
It seems like Marvel's almost trying to redo the entire line,
but
duplicate the line with a female version.
But they do that, because we've at some point had Lady Bullseye.
There's not
Lady
Deathstroke.
That's a different thing entirely.
Yeah,
right. The issue is not that we don't need the good female characters, but we need more original female characters or
the problem
not
with the original
Shadow
brought up is that is anyone yeah. going to pick up that
yeah the problem with the original is nobody's going to buy it
right and so maybe the idea is
or at least a slower insertion so it's not an right. overwhelming
this has been spread out over several years now
so if what we do is
Jane's
create
been Thor for
female
like
characters
right.
that bring young ladies and women into comics now we have an audience that is going to be receptive to new female heroes. Or more receptive.
I think.
And won't
way,
have the bias
yeah.
that male buy, teenage males are going to have. Because they're not going to buy a chick comic, maybe. You know.
I think that.
Or at least not at the rate that you know.
I think that any effort you make to have the characters in the stories more reflective of the people reading the books, I think that's a good thing.
Sure.
And agreed.
I think at the end of the day, all of this will have a more positive effect than a negative effect. So I don't really see it as a big issue overall.
Even if we're taking the hyper-cynical view that they're just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks, the things that stick matter.
And that's a good thing. That's definitely right. It's just, is it, like I said, are you devaluing all the other characters? Looking back on it, the good stories will shine out. Part of the reason I think Ms. Marvel was so good is because they had someone that was that ethnicity write the story. So they could write a character realistically.
It does have an air of authenticity to it, yes.
Maybe the issue is we need more female writers.
That is certainly true. It's not just the characters, it's the people making the books that matters as well.
Yeah, because
can't have old white guys.
I mean,
writing every single book.
We are getting really good female writers.
We are starting. There's definitely been a
G. Willow Wilson from Ms. Marvel.
A lot more than 5 years ago.
I think another thing that's good about the Ms. Marvel character is that unlike Jane Foster Thor, unlike Riri Williams as Ironheart, those are both characters who I know are going to get pulled out, and then we're going to have the original characters put back in eventually. That is inevitable. Eventually, it is going to be old Thor being Thor again. Eventually, it is going to be Tony Stark being Iron Man again. We all know that's going to happen. Ms. Marvel,
right.
though, that's not really something that can happen. Now, the person who used to be Ms. Marvel is now Captain Marvel. That seems to be a fairly permanent thing, especially
right.
when they're making a movie about her and everything now.
They've gave her the new champion series.
Yep. Her position is safe. There's no one waiting in the rafters to come and snatch back their title.
Right, and the Unworthy Thor book is doing great, and Jane Foster Thor is still doing great. So
they should, because it's a great book.
Yeah, Jason Aaron.
I'm actually rereading that run.
Even
right
if
now,
Jane Foster no longer wields the hammer, will they still tell her story?
No, the only way this story can end is with her dying.
I mean,
well, again, it's comics, so.
Well, the only way this story should end is with her dying.
And even if she does,
she'll come back eventually.
Yes.
And the way Marvel does their reboots, they reboot everything anyway. Maybe just not at once. I honestly wish, I want to see Marvel pull a rebirth. I can't tell you what's
Marvel.
No, what?
See, the problem with Marvel is Marvel does do rebirth all the time, but the problem is they do it all the time, so nobody cares about it anymore.
Well, no, they don't do a solid at once. They do, this month we're rebooting this one. We're rebooting this one.
They do half-ass half reboots all the time, so nobody cares about it anymore.
Right, I mean, it's hard to tell. They're running out of adjectives, really. Seriously, I go to look up an order history for, all new, all different Avengers. I get three different ones.
Right.
One thing that was really funny last year is that a Squirtle Girl mocked that on its own cover about how this is only our second number one this year.
And that wasn't even the only book to do it.
That was funny enough that it's what got me to buy the book, actually. And it's been
Howard the Duck and Deadpool both had two number ones.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, man.
Now, they've started taking to naming books number ones and number whatevers.
Yeah. Yeah, like now number one, and then it's
Marvel number 16. It's like they put a big fat number one on the issue, I guess, to let you know that it's the start of a new arc or something.
Which, you know, that actually is a little more helpful because it's so convoluted. I, being a comic book professional who orders,
I will say,
you know, thousands of dollars worth of Marvel books every week.
Right.
All right. And, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 every week.
So almost as many as Jules.
I could not keep straight their major titles where the jumping on points are.
Yeah. I will say, I'm rereading Jason Aaron's Thor run, and it is a great run, but it does have that problem where it's hard to tell where the starting point is because, honestly, you know, there's one, two,
to get,
three, four, five different titles.
That is true. That you, to get the full effect of that one, you definitely have to go back to Thor, God of Thunder
God of Thunder, then God Butcher?
It's God of Thunder, it's just Thor. And then there is Thor's.
Now we're on Mighty Thor, I think.
We're on Mighty Thor. There is Unworthy Thor. And then if you want to go all the way, you can get Original Sin and Thor's Original Sin tie-in.
That's what originally started the Jane Foster, or opened it up for the Jane Foster storyline.
That was the only thing in Original Sin that was noteworthy.
Exactly.
Well, I guess whatever happened to Nick Fury. Well, see, they was also giving them the excuse to get old Nick Fury
out
off of Earth so that we can have new Nick Fury who looks like Sam Jackson.
Right, so all you need to know about Original Sin is that old Nick Fury whispered something in Thor's ear.
Still don't know.
Oh, yeah. Those sweet nothings he whispered made Thor drop the hammer and be unworthy. And he's yet to be able to pick it up since.
Wow. Yep. Supposedly, we will get the reveal eventually. I mean, Jason Aaron says he knows what it is, and I trust him. So.
Oh, I'm sure he does. I mean,
the one thing I have noticed,
it's been great. So
how powerful he could depower Thor.
He had stolen the Watcher's eye, so he essentially knew everything in the Marvel Universe.
So he knew something so intense that it would corrupt Thor just the knowing of it. Because he's like, what? That means I'm unworthy.
There is I'll definitely still care when they reveal it, but the bigger issue, I think, is can it possibly live up to this much buildup at this point?
Well, a lot of people have completely forgotten about it.
Right. I mean, there are people reading the book that will not even, they'll have to go, what's this?
Right.
And they won't even remember. There are people that have never heard of Original Sin. People have gotten into comic books for the first time since then and have been reading.
Yeah. Human beings have been born.
By the time they reveal this, there'll be somebody old enough to drink that wasn't born when Original Sin came out.
When did Original Sin come out?
It has it like 2 years ago.
Yeah. It hasn't been that being long. A little hyperbolic.
There's been about 50-ish issues to his Thor run. So it's been a long run, but it hasn't been that long.
Okay, but I mean, that's a long
time. And it's been worth every issue.
It's been worth every issue.
It's, again, fantastic. You should definitely
read it. It's very well plotted out, because I definitely noticed that he has known what was going to go on in the future way before he really got into his run.
It's like, and the props best arcs in the run are sublime.
Like messing with it and letting him go on this
but
long
run. The best arcs in the run are sublime. Like God Butcher and God Bomb, that might be the best Thor story I've ever read. And then the ones that aren't as good, they're still pretty good.
Yeah. Like the one right after God Bomb, it wasn't as good, but hey, it still was like a little fun D&D romp.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Pixar effect. Even their movies that aren't great are still much better than most other movies. Speaking of movies, awkward transition time. Another trailer that dropped today was the Power Rangers trailer.
Saw that in front of the last movie.
This one was showing off the suits, Zordon, Alpha. And the Zord. And Alpha.
Alpha was in it, too.
Alpha looks less stupid. So does Zordon.
But Alpha still looked pretty stupid.
He still looked pretty stupid, but not as stupid.
He looked like that one Transformer from the second Transformers movie, Wheelie or something. He looked like that to me.
That is my main complaint with the Power Rangers movies.
With the Power Ranger movies so far.
As was I.
Yeah. I was telling somebody, there's a stage where
you, and no offense to anyone who still does this because you mentioned this, wrestling is real, and you believe it, and then you outgrow it and realize that it's not real, and you say,
there's no need to mention words here. Power Rangers is fucking stupid.
Right.
Well, Power Rangers is completely stupid. Right.
It's garbage. Yeah. Right. So it does hit a good nostalgia.
It does, yeah.
But see, that's to me is I didn't get it because I just left that age where I'm like, that's dumb. I'm too old for that, even though I still read, you know, comic books and things like that. So I always look at it as a horrible rip on Voltron, and that's what makes it even.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Right. Yeah. But see, that
makes it Japanese about like Super Cyberman or something.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Anti-nostalgic because it was a stupid version of something that is beloved to me. So I
Voltron was pretty stupid too. So
No.
I'm just saying I don't enjoy it. I love the crap out of some Voltron, but